Today on Real Life Radio.
Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry. Remember that when my heart is overwhelmed. Christian, listen. The way of the Christian has to be difficult. It's got to be.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Let me tell you about a resource that encourages you, comforts you, and helps strengthen your faith even in the worst of times. Trusting God When Times Are Tough, written by Ed Heinzen. It offers solid biblical truths that'll help you find the peace you need no matter the disappointment, the temptation, or the crisis you may find yourself in right now. Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 3. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 22, we'll consider how our strength is simply in God alone. You see, God always does what He's promised. He has identified Himself with us, sacrificed Himself through Jesus for us, and He's presented Himself to us. This makes us able to continue in challenging times. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that it's the hardships that bring life to what God has promised. When we trust in Him at all times, He will be a strong tower and refuge for us to run to. Now with his message called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Look at verse 39. Now coming out, that is coming out of the upper room where they were meeting, he went to the Mount of Olives, Mount Olivet. It's there today. Many of you have been there. It's awesome. Quiet, beautiful, still today. Birds singing, overlooking the Temple Mount. Note this, get your highlighter out. As he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. Two key things. Jesus is in the city of Jerusalem. He was mostly in the Galilee during the 3.5 years of ministry. He only went to Jerusalem when he had to. Seriously. 3 times a year. Now he's on the Mount of Olives, which overlooks the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. He's in a garden where you, if you read the Gospels, all four of them, you will be reminded that that's where Jesus went in Jerusalem, didn't pray at the temple. He went to the Mount of Olives and prayed. He's going to be betrayed soon by Judas, right? Where will Jesus struggle with Satan in his priestly prayer? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Where's that? On the Mount of Olives. Jesus loved that spot. And when Jesus went there, he went there and he prayed and he fellowshiped with his Father. You say, well, that's nice. That's more than nice. If the Son of God, who came from heaven to earth, prayed and fellowshiped with his Father and was stronger for it, then how much more do you and I need prayer with our Father and fellowship with him? If Jesus did it, should we not do it more? That doesn't mean that I'm telling you that we should be on our knees all day long, but we should be on our knees all day long in our hearts. Go do your job. Go have your vacation. Go be with your children. Go be with your wife or your husband. Go be in your single group and have a great ski trip. Whatever you're doing, guess what? Always be in the attitude of prayer and fellowship with your Father. It'll keep you out of trouble. It'll keep you on the right path. It will keep you going the way that God will bless you and prosper you and strengthen you. Jesus was strengthened when he called out to his Father. He got direction when he called out to his Father. Remember, he prayed and his Father gave him the names for the disciples. Remember, he prayed all night. And then the Bible says in the morning, he selected his 12. Jesus, as was his custom, prayed and fellowshiped with the Father, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 62:5. Listen to this. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my, the word there is security. It's printed salvation in English. It's security. And my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Part time? Three-quarter time? All times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Why? How? Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. What are we going to do in the 21st century when everything's crumbling? Run, run to the tower, because there you will find his name. The Lord will be your strength. Run to him. When you hear something, what do? Run to the Lord. Because he alone is our strength. He's awesome. And note this, we're to be, look, it says, and his disciples followed him. That's key. I don't know about you, that speaks volumes to me. We're to be followers of his. That's a disciple. And I would imagine that as the next few hours unravel, they would have been tempted to think, is this unraveling? Is this coming apart? This doesn't match with the way we've been brought up. Isn't Jesus going to pull out a sword any minute and like blow off the Roman Empire and establish his kingdom here in Jerusalem? You know, that's what they thought. Because that's what the Bible teaches. It does. But it teaches also more than that. Jesus is going to establish his kingdom, but they failed to read the Bible carefully. Hello, class. Read the Bible carefully, because the Bible said first that he would suffer as Messiah for the sins of the world and then establish his kingdom on earth. Did you know that? Jesus has to come back, not because you want him to, because he has to fulfill the word of God. He has to come back. If Jesus Christ, who was crucified in Jerusalem and resurrected from the dead, does not come back to the city of Jerusalem and sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, the Bible says, then he ain't the right Jesus. So which Jesus are you believing in? This is a big deal. Will he literally come back? Bible says yes. Will he literally sit upon the throne of David? You say, well, Jack, he's sitting on the throne now. Oh, read your Bible. Jesus is enthroned in heaven above. He is not seated on the throne of David. There's only one place where the throne of David is. And God says it's in Jerusalem. That's why today Israel is in the front page of the news almost every day. You may or may not know it, but it has to be. It's a spiritual battle that manifests itself in the physical world, because Satan knows that if there's no Jerusalem, then Jesus can't come back. Hello? If we can rename it, and if we can exterminate the Jews, if we can nuke them, then there's no Jew to rescue. There's no Jerusalem. We'll just rename it, and he can't come back. He can't come back. Guess what? Good luck. Luck is all you got. You're kicking against God when you think opposite to him. Wow. Amazing. Little strength. We've got a little bit of it. Revelation 3:8, Jesus says, I know your works. And behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. People will try. They'll try to put their foot in the door to close, or not put their foot in it. They will try to slam it shut, and God will deal with them. You have a little strength, he said. I think that's cool. You have a little strength. Isn't that awesome? Because in the flesh we say, man, aren't I stronger than that? God says, don't get all excited about yourself. You have a little strength. And here's the reason why. Revelation 3:8, Jesus says, here's the reason why. You've kept my word. You guys, you can't do better than being in the Bible. You've kept my word. Number two, you've not denied my name. Do you think we're living near the end?
Yes.
Can't have Christmas. Can't have Christmas displays. Why? Because Christ makes us think of the name Jesus. So can you do like Xmas? Or can you do like Happy Holidays? And can you please get that manger out of here? Why? What's wrong with the manger? It reminds us of, you know, that name. We live in amazing days, huh? I was talking to somebody not too long ago that in Nepal, there was an edict made in their village or their region. Christians can't go worship on Sunday morning. They have to stay home. What would you do? What would you do, you guys, honestly? Let's be honest. If the city declared that, no Christians worshiping corporately in churches on Sunday. Well, that's true. You're smarter than the average bear. She said, move it to the other day. Okay, no Christians gathering publicly. Just play along with me, will you? I'm trying to get a point across here. Listen. If the city said, or Washington said, no Christians can go to their house of worship to worship. Now look, you say, Pastor, I'll just worship at home. Of course you can. Of course you would. That's not the point. You guys, would you come and worship on the fear of pain of death? Huh? Well, 7 of us would be here. This is serious stuff. It's really, we laugh and all that stuff, but wait a minute. He's given us a little strength. I'm not going to run out on him now. You know what? He died for me and he forgave me of stuff that I've tried to spend my life trying to forgive me of. And he said, what are you talking about, Jack? I don't even remember what you did. Yeah, well, I do. Well, that's your problem. Pick up your cross and carry it every day, but I don't remember what you did. He's amazing. Okay, when you were 18, you know, with bubbles after the football game, what? I don't want to think about that. Are you a Christian now? Yep, he has forgotten. You might remember because he puts the fear in you, okay, to walk with him. Why? Because when we thought we were something, we were weak. And when we run, because the weak will run into the rock, or the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are safe, is how we have absolute victory. What do? We run to him.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
What do we do when temptation or sin comes? Run. Why? Listen to this. Psalm 26:8. You're going to write this down. It's great. Psalm 26:8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house. Do you love? Don't answer. Do you love to come to church? Do you love to corporately gather with people to praise God? I hope so. And the place where your glory dwells. Have you been coming on Wednesday nights? I don't know if you've been coming on Wednesday nights. Actually, we know for a fact, most of you don't. You say, well, how many people are here? It's a packed house. Let me say, wait, most of you don't come, but it's a packed house. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different church. It's a whole different group of people from other churches all around the region, because we've already done a little poll, and 3/4 of those that attend don't attend here on Sundays. It's a completely different church. And you see what God's doing? In fact, Sundays are starting to affect Wednesdays are starting to affect Sundays now. People are worshiping. Things are happening. For the last couple months, something's going on. Something's going on. And what I like about it is you can't define it because God's the one doing it. People are on their knees. People are worshiping. People are eating up the Bible studies. It's amazing. So what's going on? You know what's going on? It's where his glory dwells. It's his house. He loves to get his kids together on the holidays. And for him, every day is a holiday. Can you imagine having a parent like that? Well, you bring the pork chops tomorrow, or, well, turkey or mashed potatoes, or, I mean, right? You want your kids with you. God says, I'll meet you at my house. He goes on, Psalm 26, verse 9, do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in a level place or an even place in the congregations with an S. Why? First, second, third service, Wednesday nights. I will bless the Lord. God does that. Listen, at the same time, church, are you listening? At the same time God is doing that, at the same time God is purging his body, his church of sin. Matthew 7:21. You ought to turn there. You won't believe it. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now your pages are turning. I can hear them. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Mark this. Have you done this? We've prophesied in your name. That is, we preached the word. We've proclaimed your word in your name. Have you done that? Cast out demons in your name. Have you done that? And done many wonderful works or miracles in your name. Have you done that? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him to a wise man. You're not going to get to heaven by casting out demons. Because apparently you can be Judas himself and be sent out with the 12. We forget Judas cast out demons too. Judas preached the gospel too. He was one of the 12. Judas proclaimed. He was one of the 12. Judas is in hell tonight or today. Well, where he is, it's always night. Think about it. I never thought about that. He was one of the 12. Jesus is teaching these guys right here in Luke 22. Where's Judas? Well, according to John's gospel, he's going through everybody's pockets looking for spare change. He always had his hand in the money bag, says the gospel. Stealing. Judas, be careful. You call Jesus Lord on Sunday, but you call him something else by your actions on Monday. Jesus said, excuse me, I don't even know who you are. Yeah, but you know what? I was in the ministry, or I did this, or I did the mission field, or I... Jesus says, that I never told you to do that. I told you to know me. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Wow. Jesus is saying, boys, you better just pull up the bootstraps there and tighten up the rope. It's going to be tough. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth, I love this. Remember the cartoon mind now, watch out. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Every time I've heard that verse, Psalm 46:2, I've always thought of how great that would be right over Caltech and the earthquake center. Though the mountains be removed and everything moved, cast into the sea or whatever it is, and you see everything shaking and you see the Richter scale slamming around and somebody stands up and says, we will trust in the Lord God. Can you imagine hanging onto the planet? There it goes. But we're trusting God. He said, Jack, you're nuts. Listen, you're going to, trust me. You're going to trust in something or someone. It best be the Lord. Amen. It best be him. Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry. Remember that. When my heart is overwhelmed. Christian, listen. The way of the Christian has to be difficult. It's got to be. You say, wait a minute. I signed up for having an easy ride. I don't know what to tell you. You go somewhere else. Go find some other faith. You sign up for the real deal, and it's going to get tough. It has to get tough. Because that's how God keeps his people healthy, and that's how God keeps the church pure. It's tough stuff. I mean, you know this already. But the way the economy's going, it's caused other things to surface, has it not? How strong is a marriage, really? You want to know how strong it is? It's as strong as your faith in the Lord. And if that's not your strength, if he's not your rock and your tower, then it's going to be as strong as long as you're really nice to look at. Or as long as you're bringing in the big bucks, then our marriage is fine. As long as you're nice, or as long as you fill in the blank, it better be the Lord. Because difficult days do three things. They prove us real. They bring to life the word of God. When you're in a struggle, in a battle, when the doctor says this or that, does not the Bible become more real to you? All of a sudden you start reading it, especially when you read the one-year Bible. It's pretty awesome because it's like, what? 2,000 pages in my Bible, 365 days in a year, and then I get this news today, and this is what God said on that day and that very calendar. You got to get the calendar light up. How did he do that? Situations of my life marked with a calendar, 2,000 pages of the Bible, and I open up the Bible, and it says that very thing that I need to hear and see from my day, that moment, and we go, wow! Man, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then go out there and buy a one-year Bible and start read that thing. Then you begin to think, you know what? This is all rigged. It's rigged. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you realize if you know that God knows what's going to happen tomorrow, you can save your fingernails. You can throw the Melanta out the window. Go to him. Go to him. It's awesome. It's amazing. I'm going to wrap this up. Here's the deal. The wheels are in motion. The disciples are learning amazing stuff. In the midst of it all, Judas. Remember that? You forgot him, huh? Remember, we started a couple of weeks or months ago, whenever it was, we were talking about him. He got a little plan going. He's going to overthrow Jesus. He's going to make some money. Remember? He's going to sell Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Can you imagine? God, silver. Can you imagine? People do this every day. Think about it. Judas chose silver. The game is moving. Judas thinks he's got his plan going. Oh, it's working good. It's going so well. All the disciples are duped. In fact, they're so duped, they got Judas. He's the guy presiding over the money. And when he left, remember, we'll read about in a few weeks, when he left, they thought he was going to go buy something. That's what it says. They trusted him. This is going on. Jesus is telling the guys, hey, listen, here's the deal. I will be numbered with the transgressors. You guys, think for a minute. Get on the same level. I'm talking spiritual talk here. It's all coming down. It's exactly how it's supposed to be. Judas is across town. Hey, it's all coming down right about midnight. So give me 30 pieces of silver. Jesus, it's awesome. Isn't that awesome? This whole thing's rigged. See, what do you mean rigged? God knows what you're going to do tomorrow. Well, then why does he need to just fix it? Because you haven't cried out to him. You haven't called out to him. You're not searching for him. You're not starting your day on your face before him saying, God, lead me and guide me. If this whole thing's from you, God, then put my life into your plan. Don't try to hear my plan and put it into your world, God. I don't want to do that. Remember what Ronald Reagan said? There's a lot of historians in here, so you'll bust me on it later, but it goes something like this. Reagan was speaking somewhere, and somebody was getting ready. The speaker before Reagan was saying what he was saying, and the guy said that God is on our side. God is on our side. And it's a famous moment. Ronald Reagan gets up, and everyone's like, hey, thank you. Well, first thing I want to say is, we don't need God on our side. We need to be on God's side. And that's a very smart way of looking at things. It's a big difference. In Mark 8:36, Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, apparently 30 pieces of silver. What an amazing thing that's taking place.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 3. So glad you could spend some time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. We've all felt the sting of guilt, fear, disappointment, and hurt. But did you know that the Bible has the answer to any situation we find ourselves in? In our current featured resource called Trusting God When Times Are Tough, author Ed Heinsohn compassionately guides us through Scripture, offering us hope and a new outlook on life. Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.